We have Mr. Davidi with us. Then let's bring him in. Shai Davidi, how are you, sir? Still talking to Travis.
Travis is a social animal.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. He's No. God, I wouldn't want to go clubbing with Travis. I'm surprised Travis wasn't at the casino. Of course, if he was at the casino, he'd be talking so much nobody could play the freaking card games. Hello, Shai.
Hello.
You talked more to Travis than we do.
Well, he was he wanted to run through Raptors when I was there on Monday night. God. And so we were exchanging stories on Channing Frye's one of Channing Frye's interesting quotes that can't be repeated on air.
Okay. Okay. By the way, your basketball debut was noted.
It was tremendous.
People,
yeah.
So yes, you're multifaceted. You have more than one facet. But I already knew that.
Well, I was kind of the secondary guy on Raptors in my last year at CP. So the last time I'd covered a basketball game was 2011. My last assignment at Canadian Press actually was a Raptors Spurs game before I left to join Sportsnet. So it was a little nostalgic for me.
Really?
You're not nostalgic about working for a wire service. You are not.
Okay. You are not. Stop it.
I just like to point that out. Just a little honesty check there. Because, you're in a better place, correct?
No, of course.
Yes. Yeah. You have to say that.
That's... But you know, a wire guy at the beginning, you never forget where you came from, right?
That's true. You never forget your first. Anyhow. So Russ Martin, two home runs last night. A guy who, as Steven and I were talking in the last hour, I mean, a guy who really owned the Yankees last year offensively. Was a huge reason that the Jays had so much success against the Yankees, and that success ultimately, I think, is the reason the Jays won the division. What was the difference with Russ Martin? What was his explanation for last night's game compared to, you know, the fact that he'd gone 2 months without a home run?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was a long time coming. You know, it's not only that he hasn't had the home runs. I mean, those were just the second and third extra base hits of the season as well. I mean, there's been virtually no slug from him up until last night. And he said that he'd made a couple adjustments at the plate, that he started feeling really good in Minnesota over the weekend. And when you see, I mean, he had a home run to left and a homer to right. And when he's going to right field with pop, then makes you think that he may have turned the corner, because that's sort of when he's at his best, and he's got a lot of power in the opposite field. You know, John Gibbons said that he might have the most opposite field power on the team, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But it was going to turn at some point, right? He wasn't going to have no home runs all year, but they came against the Yankees at a good time, because, you know, I mean, they had the two hits the previous night, and they looked absolutely awful against Eovaldi in the bullpen. And, they did what they needed to do against Ivanova and the Yankee secondary relievers.
You know, Shai, I don't want to overstate it, but I think Russ Martin is an emotionally complicated guy. And which in a way that doesn't come out when he's doing a post game clip for TV or something, because he always, you know, he smiles and kind of says the same thing, and like a lot of athletes do. But I'm guessing that Russ Martin has been quietly and silently suffering a lot in these first 2 months of the season because of his struggles at the plate. He's just, I think that, you know, still waters run deep in a way, right? And I you know, you can tell me if I'm wrong about that, but I just think that this has probably been a very, very tough first 6-8 weeks of the season for Russell Martin, you know, behind closed doors, privately.
Oh, for sure. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And you know, I think it would have been easier for him to take if the Blue Jays were playing better and he didn't have the offensive numbers. But, you know, when you pair the two together, there's a ton of frustration. And, you know, I talked with him, I don't know, probably about 3 weeks ago now, and it was sort of shortly after the neck thing had gone away, and he said that he felt like he started to turn the corner physically, that his legs were there in a way that there weren't. It wasn't just the neck, but his legs, he had good energy in his legs. And I think you've seen him be a bit more athletic and energetic on the field in recent weeks, but it still hadn't translated to the box. And when you know, then again, you factor in the team struggles and or inconsistencies and everything. And I think you're right. It was eating away at him. And and he was trying. I mean, a lot of these guys are trying, and you know that old adage, maybe you know, you try too hard in baseball, it only makes things worse. And that may very well be where this team is. But, you know, there was a bit of relief. You know, he cracked a couple of jokes at his own expense, saying, you know, he generally prefers hitting his first homers in April as opposed to late May. But, you know, that's where he's at right now. But there are 4 months remaining, and there's ample time for him to recover. And I think for fear of the Blue Jays, that's what you hang on to, that there's still a lot of time to pull your numbers up and have a reasonable season.
Shy, Marco Estrada last night, I just mentioned this a little bit with Brunt. You know, look, Marco Estrada, obviously we know is not a velocity guy, but there are times where I admire and like watching him pitch as much as anybody on this team. You know, even as much as Sanchez and Stroman, who've got great stuff, just because you get the impression it's almost like you're pitching along with Marco. Like he's a guy that in the middle of the game, at least I find myself kind of going, okay, come on, get this over with. You know, like get this pitch over. And he's easy to like as a guy as well, which makes it easy. But that was a battling performance, because the worst thing if you're the Blue Jays, is if that was the game where Marco Estrada couldn't make it out of the fourth inning and you had to go to the bullpen.
Right, especially when they only have six men in the pen,
yeah.
and you've got an early afternoon game the next day. I mean, that's a bad combo. Would have precipitated a roster move afterwards. So you're right, but to me that was most evident in the third inning, when the Yankees loaded the bases with nobody out. You know, like a couple little singles, and then pass ball, and then the walk. And if the Yankees open it up there, then, you know, the Blue Jays are probably in some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he gets a soft fly ball from Ellsbury. Gardner beats out a fielder's choice to score one run. If it's anybody other than him that's running, it's probably two, and he's out unscathed. And then the Blue Jays were able to respond the inning after. And that swing, I thought, was really important in the game. And it was pivotal in his outing. And it's funny because, you know, you think, oh, everyone's always excited to see the great pitchers with great fastballs and just blow by guys. But, you know, to your point earlier about how fun it is to watch him pitch, I mean, just seeing that changeup is great entertainment value, because it's such a ridiculous pitch. But he wasn't at his best. He was able to fight through it and contain the Yankees lineup, which is exactly what they needed him to do.
You know, I was thinking, you know, with the Devin Travis promotion, Shai, you know, the one thing you can say about the Shapiro-Atkins administration with the Blue Jays, and the difference, one of the key differences between them and at least Alex Anthopoulos in the last year and a bit that he was there, is they're going to be very conservative with young players. And where you can see it, where they position some of their prospects in the minors, they dropped some guys back this year. They've held some guys back in terms of what level they've pitched at. They're not going to they're not fast tracking anybody right now. And this is the first thing I've seen, and I know Devin Travis has played in the major leagues, and he was very effective when he was up last year before he got hurt. But, you know, he hadn't really settled in AAA on the rehab. He certainly wasn't tearing it up. This is the first time where I've sensed a little bit of, you know, desperation. Just, you know, what the hell? A sense that this stretch of the season is important. Obviously, Tulowitzki gets dinged, so that maybe accelerates things a little bit. But
desperation from the front office.
From the front office. Okay. Just saying, what do we got to lose? You know what? Let's give this a shot, because if we don't get things straightened out in the next couple of weeks, the season might be gone.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Sure. Yeah, for sure. And you know, Travis isn't coming up if not for the Tulowitzki quad thing, because, you know, he fields a ground ball the eighth inning in Columbus for the first out of the inning. And then all of a sudden he's being called off the field. Mm-hmm. And he's like, wasn't I supposed to be playing nine? What's going on? And then, you know, does the math, sees what happened to Tulowitzki, and understands what's going on. So, I mean, this wasn't in the plan. But I think if it wasn't going to be, you know, yesterday, it was going to be probably Friday or in the next few days. And so you get to that point, you're like, all right, well, we can't mess around. We can't be short an infielder, and we don't want to DL Troy Tulowitzki. So the only way to day-to-day him is to add another infielder. And I think, too, it's just Tuesday night, they just look dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And a good pitching performance can do that to you, and you don't want to read too much into it. But, you know, a couple guys afterwards are saying, you know, we need a bit of a spark. We need something to give us some life. And Devin Travis is he's not like a big huge personality type, but he's a really positive guy. He's energetic. He's always smiling. And, you know, I think that was a good thing for the room a little bit. And, you know, he didn't he got a pretty generously scored single last night.
Yeah.
But that was a big thing. Is it put two guys on, gave Ryan Goins an opportunity, and he delivered a two-run double, and the Blue Jays haven't seen too many of those. So, you know, you're right. I mean, this is clearly a big evaluation period. You know, they've got they're in the midst of 12 against the Yankees and Red Sox right now. They've got 7 of the 10 that follow with the Orioles. And if they're not going to win the division over this next span, but they can certainly lose it.
Shai, I know that you wrote about this yesterday, but J-Hap is starting today. Aaron Sanchez bounced back a day. Is that just part of the, I think John Gibbons told us, if I'm not mistaken, last month that basically they were going to try to find a day a month for Aaron Sanchez and hope that at the end of the season, you know, that kind of gives them extra time. Is that what this is all about, simply, with Sanchez? Or was there a matchup thing at work?
It's mostly the former and a little bit of the latter.
Okay.
You know, the Red Sox are predominantly right-handed, and not that J-Hap can't handle right-handers, but, you know, the Yankees are mostly lefty switch.
Right.
So it makes a bit more sense to have the lefty versus the Yankees at Yankee Stadium and then have Sanchez take on the righties at home against the Red Sox.
Has there been any talk about doing what they did earlier in the season with Drew Hutchison, who's pitching really well in Buffalo right now, by the way, but bringing him up and pushing the entire rotation back a day just to give everybody a spell and to save some of Sanchez's innings?
Yeah, they're talking about doing it at some point later next month, later in June. They have a bit of a longer stretch after a couple off days, and then they were going to drop. They're talking about dropping him in at some point. I don't know if they've pinpointed the exact date down yet, but, you know, I mean, the Blue Jays have done that with great success. It's not exactly a great reward, but at least it's something for Drew Hutchison while he's toiling away in Buffalo to, I don't know if necessarily lift his spirits is the right words, but to give him some encouragement and give him something back while he's toiling away.
Aaron Loop, how close is he to rejoining this team and maybe helping out the bullpen?
My guess is that he's going to, as soon as Troy Tulowitzki is through the quad thing, that we're going to see Loop back here. You know, apparently the reports are good. He's thrown consecutive scoreless innings on rehab for the Bisons. And, you know, I think right now they're just waiting for the roster spot to settle down. And, you know, once they know that Tulowitzki is ready to go, they've got too many middle infielders right now. So you figure Ryan Goins is going to end up the odd man out.
Is Biagini the eighth inning guy now, effectively, Shai? Because I know, you know, he's been terrific, especially for a guy who hadn't pitched above double A until this year. And I know, you know, John Gibbons' trust in him has grown tremendously since spring training. Plus, he doesn't have a lot of alternatives that he trusts right now. So is he the guy until further notice?
I think he's probably the number one option right now. He's going to be unavailable today, so he's thrown a couple in a row.
Yeah.
So Gavin Floyd would probably be the eighth inning guy today if they need one. So there's still a little mixing and matching, but it is amazing how quickly his stock has risen. And the faith in a guy with limited experience, but it's really because the Blue Jays, they're just searching for the hot hand, and whoever happens to be throwing the ball well right now, that there's no fear of throwing that person out in a tight spot, just because nobody has really taken the job and run with it, and that's been one of the primary problems for this team.
You know, I do want to ask you about before we let you run, because I've heard this woman's name come up a couple of times, and I know that she was involved in the rehab for Marcus Stroman. But Nicky Huffman really seems to be, if you listen to Devin Travis, certainly played a significant role in his recovery. Was she hired as part of the sort of Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins emphasis on sports science? How did this come about?
I may have my timing off, but I believe that she was hired a little bit before before that, that
okay.
you know, the relationship really started when Marcus Stroman was at Duke, because she was at Duke,
right,
with the team there that helped Stroman in his recovery, and at the time the Blue Jays liked so much what they saw that they were expanding sort of a partnership there, and then they ended up bringing her and a couple other people over.
Okay.
So I'm not sure about the specific timing. It was at some point during the off season, but she has become a very, very valuable member and earned a lot of players' trust. And it's funny listening to Travis say about how far she's managed to push him, and mm-hmm. Stroman said the same thing. You know, she's apparently pretty tough on those guys, and it really there's been some good results out of it so far.
Shai, we're going to let you scoot. Appreciate you doing this. What are you going to do before you go to the ballpark? You're going to squeeze lunch or something in, aren't you? Or a run? I bet you've probably already run, have you?
No, I slept in a little bit today. I'm going to go run probably right now.
Central Park or what?
Central Park. We'll see how far I go. May do the whole park, maybe a bit less.
Attaboy. Have fun. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.